Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Balance. Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday. It's 1230. The Bears are in the building, and it's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. And the current event of the day is the June 2nd primary election. And I'm having a special. I'm so pleased to have Eric Gorham and Kenny Enney in studio co-hosting the show with me. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you doing, Barry?
Great.
Doing well, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We also have some great guests calling in throughout the show. First will be Randall Jordan calling in a few minutes. And he's the chairman of RP Slow. We're going to talk to him about what his predictions are and what to expect in the general election. Then at 1:10, Adam Verdin, the District 4 Board of Supervisors race, a Republican candidate. He's calling in. Darcia Stebbins at 1:20 is going to give us a report from the polling stations and other election integrity matters. And at 1:30, we hope to have Michael Aaron Woody, the District 2 Board of Supervisors candidate, independent. And we want you to note that we did invite District 2 Supervisor candidate Jim Tantona, Democrat, and District 4 candidate Jimmy Paulding, Republican, for equal time purposes, and we never heard back from him, right?
Yeah, I got no reply.
It was crickets, huh?
Crickets.
From those guys. All right.
Well, so, no, I think Jimmy, I got one of those automated things that said, we'll get back to you in 3 days.
He's out of the office
until
after the election.
Right.
Okay, great. Anyway, enough of that editorializing, okay? Folks, you can call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So let's take a look. What are you thinking as far as what's happening down in District 4 right now as far as you're seeing,
District
Eric?
4 has been interesting because you've seen, and I've talked to a few people that have done interviews with Jimmy, and they say he sounds deflated. So I don't know if he has polling. I haven't personally seen any polling in that district, but I've gotten some rumors that Jimmy's been a little deflated the last week. So I don't know if he pulled some polls and he's not doing well. I know Adam's been hitting it hard. And I think for Jimmy, he's been his own worst nightmare. His own actions have caused him to slip down in the polls, if I were to guess. I think there's been a lot of just bad press on him, mostly because of his own doing, though. And then Adam's just kind of over there chugging along. So it'll be interesting to see if Adam can pull it out over an incumbent. That's never an easy task.
Right. What about you? Are you tracking on that race at all, Kenny?
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of my attitude for pretty much all the races here in California right now is it's the Republicans to lose regardless of what office. Because just looking at Jimmy Paulding, you know, the one thing he's running on, which was the fire station, and it's turning out that it really wasn't something that he did. Right. So there's not much of a record that the Democrats can run on, is my philosophy. So I think if the Republicans can motivate their base to show up, and you can, and it's not just the Republican base, but it's the independents as well.
And Jimmy,
I think they can do quite well.
Jimmy got caught in quite a few lies this year. I mean, even you know what he did to Lynn, and now there's probably going to be a lawsuit about it, and it looks like he was doing it. Well,
right.
I actually have a little proof that he was doing it down south, this going around the houses and, you know, lying about who he is, what he represents. He says he goes to the door and says, oh, I'm your conservative candidate.
Right.
Will you put, I personally got 8 signs taken down. That they thought he was the conservative.
Well, he had some issues with, of course, with some of the election
FPPC.
FPPC, right?
And that's still kind of going on, and that literally probably caused Lynn to lose it a few years ago.
Really? Really?
And, you know, I don't know. She has a point where it's coming up quick. If she wants to sue, she could.
So Kenny, I mean, from your perch at the Paso Robles School Board, does the makeup of the does the makeup of the Board of Supervisors impact you much?
Not really.
Not really.
probably if there's one county office that would affect us or impact us, that's going to be the county superintendent of schools.
Oh, thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. What's your question?
Hi, Barry. It's Randall.
Oh, it's Randall. I guess you called it on the call. Okay, you called it on the guest line. Not on the guest line, but that's good. Randall, welcome to Protecting What Matters. How you doing?
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us, we were just talking about the two supervisor races here in the county. I know your RP Slow is more involved in the District 4 race down in the Napomo area. What's your take on what's going on, and what are you thinking about as far as turnout, and how's it looking?
Actually, it's looking very, very well. I think Adam, like Kenny was saying, Adam's basically a Republican that's got this race to lose, but he's not going to lose. He's going to win big.
You mean Adam?
Adam Verdin. I'm sorry, Adam Verdin. Yeah, he's going to.
Don't scare us. Don't scare us. Please.
No. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
No. We basically had some folks over the weekend that were down in Napomo showing flags over the freeway, and they were getting a lot of great feedback, a lot of honks and waves, and people really, really enthused over Adam. And then we also had a couple of our volunteers from the North County headquarters down on Oak Park and Grand Avenue, and they had a table set up there, and they were signing people up for registration and actually pushing Adam's candidacy. And they said it was all positive, that everyone that came up was so happy and so excited to be voting for Adam. So I think it's going to be a great a turnout, and I think we're gonna win that seat.
Are you getting any numbers on the mail-in ballots so far? I saw an article in the Cal Coast News that it seemed pretty light so far. That was a couple of days ago. Are you getting any word from what's going on there?
Well, you know, I was just telling my wife Mary a few minutes ago. I left the headquarters here in North County about half an hour ago, and we had a steady stream of people bringing in their ballots to drop them off there. I do know that it's been a little bit. It started out pretty robust, and then it tapered off a little bit. But I think today we're going to see a lot of people go to the polls, and I think the mail-in ballots are going to be huge. I know that we're topping at least close to 1,000 or at 1,000 at our headquarters in North County alone. And our South County headquarters, we're over 1,100 down there.
That's pretty good. That's probably pretty good. What do you think, Eric?
I saw some numbers today, and actually, oddly enough, District 5, Atascadero, where our headquarters is lagging so far behind in the vote right now, like more than half. A district has at least 10,000 to 11,000 votes already at the recorder's office. We're at like 4,000.
Really? Well, there's nothing to vote for in their opinion,
yeah,
right?
Maybe.
other than governor and things like that,
or they're all going to vote today.
Yeah. They're all going to vote today. Hopefully, that's the case.
We're working hard at the headquarters. Mark and Cheryl are working hard there. We've got people making phone calls today to get the vote out. We've had a couple of text messages go out last week. We got another one, a couple going out today. So, we're your party is working really, really hard to get the vote out in this county.
That's great. We were talking last week, when we were doing our show prep, and, there's something that Kenny was kind of focused on was, Latino outreach, outreach to the Latino community. Is RP Slow very active in that aspect of things? And if so, what are you guys doing?
Well, we're getting better. We basically have a few members of our volunteer staff that are Latinos, they have been outreaching, and we've been seeing more of the families coming in. We need to do a lot better, and we're hopefully going to be reaching out even more for the general election in November. But it's starting to come around, and we're starting to make a presence in that community.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Kenny? Because I know it was something you were pretty passionate about.
Yeah, my feeling's always been that when you look at the Latino culture in general, it's socially much much more conservative than Anglo culture. Mm-hmm. Very family oriented, very, very much faith based. And it really kind of astounds me in the state of California that the Latino community votes for all the craziness on the left. Mm. When you start seeing nationwide the shift from the Latino support for the Democrat Party, away from the Democrat Party, it's shifting substantially in Texas and also in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think, having spent a lot of time in Latin America, having lived in Miami, there's a cultural difference between each of the Latino groups. Cubanos are probably more conservative than Nicaraguans in the Miami area, and I always felt, well, probably the Mexican community is maybe not as politically conservative, but you're starting to see in Texas that shift as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's something that in this state really needs to be a focus of main effort in many ways.
What were the numbers in the last election, Randall? I mean, did you guys Trump did pretty well in the last cycle with it Latinos. How did he do in the county?
We were still pretty low. I think that we were in the 20 or 25% bracket, but overall vote, get out the vote. We've been going up and up and up, so it is growing, like Kenny was saying, and we are starting to win over the hearts and minds of the Latino community. But we need to do more. We need to reach out more, and like I say, we do have some volunteers that are very, very passionate about bringing the Latinos in. And I think we're going to see a shift even more before the general election.
So if I'm not mistaken, Randall, the last few elections, there's been outreach on Latin radio and even magazine ads.
Yes, yeah,
yeah.
You're right on that. Yeah, we have tried to cover the conservative and the Latin American community in the last couple of elections, and we did target again this election.
There is a conservative radio. I think it's I can't think of it off the top of my head. Not that I'm advertising competition for Kevin or anything. I think it's a faith based Latino radio station. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the called numbers off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing
there's actually a couple of them. There's El Fuego, which is the younger market, and then you're right, Kenny. I can't remember the name of it, but we've always tried to reach out to the more of the faith based and the family oriented.
But even on the, even just moving away from the social and cultural conservativeness, a lot of entrepreneurs in the Latino community. There are a lot of people in the Latino community that are increasingly interested in school choice,
mm-hmm.
because they're the ones that are suffering through the failing public school system. So.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of common ground to tap into.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. So I'm sure you guys at RP Slow are starting to look ahead to the general election. What do you consider to be the big issues that you're going to be focused on, Randall, and candidates? And I guess we'll know more about the candidates after, well, maybe a month, I suppose. But
California is not too good about reporting. I mean, we'll get a glimpse tonight.
Yeah.
That can be, we've seen what's happened like in Orange County, and that can be flipped, 3 weeks or 4 weeks down the road.
Maybe so. By July 4th, we'll have some final numbers.
July 4th.
Yeah.
What we've got coming on the ballot in November is basically the voter ID,
mm-hmm.
and that we really need to push. We need to get, we're pushing, last election for Prop 50, we were up around 64-65% turnout, which is unheard of, basically, for a special election or a midterm election, something like that. So we're pushing for this election because Bob Smith said that if we get him 85% turnout, he's going to win. So we're pushing for 85%, and we need to have the same kind of turnout for the general. We've got to get voter ID passed.
24th district.
Oh, okay. Well, good. That would be certainly be a sea change here. Of course, it'll probably get bogged down in the courts, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. It's going to get challenged, but at least we need to have the will of the people out there so that they know what we really want, which is voter ID and getting back to the basics on casting your ballot.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a move even this election that our registrar is pushing us towards the vote centers, which we do not want our county to become a vote center county. We do not want that. But she's actually implementing some vote center requirements policies that we don't need in this county, and we're seeing them pushing that way.
What do you think of the? I know this will personally impact you. The billionaires tax. What do you think of that? How is that? How are we going to fight that? I mean,
we have to fight that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically just an open door policy to tax everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you're a middle income family and you own your own home and you've owned it for a while, you've easily probably got a nest egg worth at least $1 million. And mm-hmm. what's the big jump to go from, you know, the billionaires to the millionaires? I mean, we're all probably millionaires in our own right. I mean,
well, you own a house, yes.
If you own a house, you're, right. You and have any kind of equity in it, then you are. So, it's a slippery slope, and we need to stop that. We need to make that go away, because that's not something good that our government is telling us, you know, how much money we can make and how successful we can be.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. I mean, there's going to be so many that and so many other things that are coming up in the general election. But, you know, we're coming up on the break here in about 30 seconds. So I just want to thank you for calling in and taking time out of your busy day. And I think I'm speaking for everybody here in the studio that, you know, we really appreciate all the time and effort that you and Mary spend, you know, helping the Republican Party here in the county and the state.
Well, Barry, it's a labor of love. I mean, we love our county so much, and we just want to give back. And you know, the Republican ethics and the Republican way of life with faith, freedom, and family. I mean, that is what we believe in, and that's what we're going to fight for.
So, do you have a final message for the listeners before you head off to your next appointment?
Well, basically, if you're contemplating not voting today, if it's too much trouble, you can't get a ride, you can't get your ballot turned in time, call the headquarters. Look under RPSLOC.org, and look up the phone number for either of the two headquarters and call them and say, I need help. We will send somebody to pick up your ballot. We'll send somebody to help you go vote. We'll do whatever we need to do. This is such an important election. They're all important, but if we can get that total number of the get out to vote and get the Republicans out to vote, we will win these races. And Kenny's right. We'll win.
All right. Thank you so much, Randall.
Thank you,
Barry. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you, Barry. Bye.
I hear the bumper music, so when we return, we're going to talk about the wild and crazy mayoral race in Los Angeles. That should be good for a few minutes of laughs. So stand by. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. I'm here with co-hosts Kenny Ennie and Eric Gorham. You can call or text with questions, 805-238-5775-238-KPRL. So let's talk about what everybody's talking about in the United States. Hopefully they're paying attention in my hometown of Los Angeles. Eric, what do you think of the whole Spencer Pratt effort to, I'm looking at the latest polls, but I want to get both your guys' takes before we talk about that.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, I like the charismatic approach. He's been jovial about it, and I think he's just kind of trying to capture the anger of the community, because after last year with the fires, et cetera, and really a government that hasn't done anything for its own people over in L.A. County, it's pretty ridiculous. So I think if he can seize on that, it's pretty good. I don't know. I've been watching the polls, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last ones I saw, I thought he was down a little bit.
But. Yeah. I mean, I think it depends. I'm looking at him right now here. I mean, most of them are pretty liberal polls, you know, right. And he is down. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if it's the kind of thing where people aren't admitting that they'll vote for Spencer Pratt or
right.
they're just, or the, I don't know what the internals on.
Yeah, kind of like when Trump ran in 16, you know, yeah. didn't have a chance and all of a sudden right. pulled it out. I don't know if that's the case. I think that you never know. I mean, I think for L.A., really, they have to hit rock bottom. So are they there? I don't know. I mean, yeah. I know there's some angry people. A lot of those people are on probably the wealthier side that lost their mm-hmm. houses because those were more wealthy areas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's enough because the inner cities seem to vote Democrat regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the problem. So, Kenny, I mean, I see a lot of similarities between you and Spencer Pratt. Yeah, well, you know, you have that charismatic thing going on and you stick to the issues. You're kind of the stick to the issues crowd.
Yeah, well, that means I can only do one thing at a time. Okay. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, I thought I saw over the weekend that he was at 35 and mm-hmm. Karen Bass was at 33. I thought he was slightly ahead over the weekend.
The one poll that I'm looking at here that I just got this morning, the McLaughlin and Associates, which is probably a more, you know, middle-of-the-road type poll than Berkeley or the L.A. Times or something like that. He's at 30.
Okay.
But most everywhere else, he's at 22. UCL, well, again, some of the more recent polls. See, those are the LA Times poll has him at 22, which was just done. That was recent. But McLaughlin is the most recent, actually. I'm looking at this. It was 526 to 528. So that's the most recent poll. So, yeah, he looks like he's getting some traction, if this is accurate.
Well, what I enjoy about it and what I the change that I think he's making is it's pretty much everything is on the internet.
Right.
It's all social media. He's doing, I really enjoy the little AI generated commercials he does mm-hmm. where he's Superman or Batman or whatever. And Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass are the Joker and the Riddler. I mean, it's very clever. It's appealing to, I think, people that traditionally aren't involved in politics.
Right.
It's none of the boring numbers or anything like that. It's just, you know, it's showing pictures of the homeless people, you know, mm-hmm. defecating in the streets and burned down houses. And that visual is very hard to defend.
Well, it's, yeah,
if you're a traditional Democrat, I think part of that strategy that Spencer Pratt's doing is, maybe not convert as many Democrats to my side, but just demoralize them enough so they don't go out and vote.
Well, it's interesting because I heard that a lot of those AI-generated commercials are being done by volunteers, and they just send them out to, you know, they've got all these social media channels, and they're just creating them and sending them out, and they're really creating a lot of buzz. And then, of course, last week he was on all the national news.
Right.
You know, so he's taking a, you know, something out of Steve Hilton's playbook, I guess. So do you think, Eric, I mean, you're the most political guy. You know, you've been involved in politics here for a long time. I mean, do you see a candidate in this county that could, you know, could really, you know, take off like yourself and you know, do an insurgency type campaign like this?
I think that's what we're going to start seeing here pretty mm-hmm. quickly. I think we're at the, you know, I think Spencer Pratt's one of those people that's kind of right at the beginning of that. Mm-hmm. He's kind of laying the groundwork. Now, is that going to be strictly a Republican thing? I kind of doubt it. But I think that's the way. If you can build these channels, especially as an incumbent, because the more longer you're in it, the more people right. are following you.
Right.
You can really, you know, and I think what you'll see is if you look a few years ago, with District 1, you saw a race that ended before it began, and I think there's the political minds here that can do that, you know.
All right. Thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. What's your question or comment?
Yes. I don't know if you spoke about this already. What about those bags of ballots that were burned? You think that's true in L.A.?
Yeah, the incendiary devices that were tossed into the the ballot boxes. I suspect it's true. I don't know where it is, and that was probably the biggest question in my mind. Is it in a predominantly moderate to right leaning district, or is it in a left wing? Who knows? But it sounds like there were two of them that were somebody tossed incendiaries into the ballot boxes. I'd be curious how they figure out whose ballots were in there.
There was I was going to touch on this a little later when we were talking to Darcia, but let me just mention this. There was an article here. Was it the California Globe? And by the way, Megan Barth from the California Globe will be my guest next week to do a post-election analysis. But apparently Judicial Watch has found in California that they have 873,000 ghost voters.
No, I can't believe
and
that.
And apparently there's all kinds of lawsuits. I don't think our clerk recorder in this county gets any merit badges for how she handles her office. What do you think, Eric?
No, I think at best you can look at incompetence.
Yeah.
And that's what I would like to chalk it up to. I know other people think differently, but we've seen incompetence since day one. We've seen mistake after mistake. I mean, she advertised.
Uh-huh.
And the mailer they sent out for her own election. I mean, if that's not the ethics of what's happened over there are not high. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. So thanks.
Too late?
Go
is
ahead.
Is
I'm sorry.
Too late to check to see online if my vote, if it got counted or.
Yeah, you can go on the website. I'm not sure what it is. I can look it up during the break.
Yeah, we'll try to. We'll get Darcia knows.
Yeah, Darcia.
Thank you so much.
Have a nice day.
Yeah,
bye.
Thank
bye.
You. Folks, we'll be back on the other side of the break with an all-star lineup of guests and more great talk from my co-hosts, Eric and Kenny. So stand by.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. You're here today with us, Eric Gorham and Kenny Enney. My co-host, and I believe we have on the line Adam Verdin. Adam, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Hey, good to be here.
Hey, just give me 1 second while I do the rest of the intro, and then we're going to circle right back to you. I didn't want you to go into our voicemail system here. So,
no problem.
Anyway, folks, as you can tell, we have Adam Verdin calling in from District 4 to let us know what's going on down there with his race for the District 4 Board of Supervisors race. I also have Darcia Stebbins calling in about 1:20. She's going to give us a report from the polling stations and talk about, she is our empress of election integrity in the county, right? So we need to find out what her latest efforts are doing. And then at 1:30, we have Michael Aaron Woody, District 2 Board of Supervisors candidate, calling in. Again, we want to be really clear. We did invite District 2 candidate Jim D'Antona and District 4 candidate Jimmy Paulding to be on the show, but they ignored us. So you can call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Adam, again, welcome.
Yes.
Tell us what's going on down in District 4 and how you feeling today?
Well, I'm feeling optimistic, and I'm feeling grateful for the opportunity to run. We've had a lot of support down here, and frankly, a lot of support from the north side of the grade as well. And a lot of activity. It looks like the voter turnout is going to be a little bit stronger than it was in 2022. Certainly on the Republican side, it's been a pretty strong turnout so far based on the data that we have. And so we'll see what the evening holds and what the days hold ahead of us. But as I say, we're off to a very strong start. So very grateful for that.
What issues are resonating the most with District 4 voters?
Well, affordability, protection of Prop 13 is a paramount issue here. Also, just getting government back to the basics and getting focused on fixing our infrastructure, fixing our roads, the things that people expect from county government. You know, my opponent says he's anti-development, but at the same time, the largest, biggest development we've had in South County while he's been in office has been a battery plant, which is a pretty large development. So people are frustrated with the inconsistency. That's what we're seeing, and hopefully we'll see that here at the results of this election.
No, exactly, and I kind of thought it was a little funny when your opponent over there said, "Oh, I refuse to take money from developers," and I was just thinking, well, what developer besides a battery corporation is going to give you money?
So. Well, yeah, I think it's funny, you know, and he says, if you look in the Pomona Rio Grande as an example, he ran on new sources of water. We have no new sources of water here. We only have water rates going up. Water in Arroyo Grande is becoming problematic with a lawsuit, backed in part by some of his supporters. It's tough as a challenger, messaging against an incumbent, getting the message out. But I think we've been very persistent, and as I say, so far anyway, it's showing at the ballot. So as I say, we're optimistic. Of course, it's an election, and here in our county, unfortunately, it takes a little bit to get a result.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Hey, sir, it's Kenny Enney. How are you? Quick question. So, depending on how you guys do tonight, both of you are going to move forward, right? Or is
no? This is winner take all.
Okay.
As long as they don't split it 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be 50% right. Plus one vote.
Got it. I was curious. There was some prep that we got before the show, but I was looking and I was curious about how Paulding can claim that labor is, sort of his base, because I don't really see anymore that as a category the Democrats can really hold on to, because especially in the state of California, as you look at manufacturing jobs are going away, even the housing that they want to do is all prefab housing. What are your experiences with probably I look at unions as probably good unions and bad unions like everything else, but I'm not a fan of government unions at all. I don't think they should exist, but what kind of feedback have you gotten from like traditional like plumbers and carpenters unions and things like that? Do you see
if people that build things, I feel like we have a lot of support from people in our county that build things, at least people in my district. With respect to organized labor, I will say that the biggest one of the biggest contributors to my opponent's campaign was from the IBEW PAC based in Washington, D.C. And it's in tens of thousands of dollars since 2017, not just to his campaign, but also to the independent expenditures, the PAC that supported him. And those are the same folks that built the battery plant. And so I just think it's astounding to me that he would, on one hand, accuse me of taking money from big developers when the biggest development, as I said earlier, is this battery plant. And the folks that built it are his, I think they might be the single largest contributor to his campaign.
Yeah. Was that, now that they had to pay prevailing wages on that? Was that Was it completely private, or was it public-private?
So my understanding was that it was a venture capital firm that developed it. So it was literally an out-of-town developer building this battery plant, and he's supported by the Washington D.C. based PAC at doing this, and so. And yet what he says is he won't take a single dollar from a developer. and certainly not a town developer. And yet, that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, and I think within that, you know, he tried to play it off as, oh no, it's IBU, the local company, right. And they did all. They also gave him money, but not as much as they did the national group did, or the group from Washington D.C. But I've heard him play it off several times, like, oh no, that's the local union that gave me all that money.
If you look at
D'Antona's filings, if you look at Ortiz Legge's filings, they properly list. They contributed to their campaigns as well. The difference is that they properly listed it as a Washington D.C. based PAC. At the same time, he took money from the same organization that he's calling the San Luis Obispo organization on his filings. And so, to me, that's just a misrepresentation. Look, I don't particularly take issue with him taking money as long as it follows the law. My issue is that he accuses me of the very thing he's doing, which he denies.
Well, that's what liberals always do. I mean, that's how you know you're dealing with a liberal.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Right, well, or they accuse you of what they're doing. You know, so
what's his stand on the Diablo Canyon?
Well, it depends which day we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So he started off being a opposed to the 20-year extension of Diablo power plant, and then he more recently changed his mind, and now he is supportive of it. And I think, you know, there's data that have come out that indicate that people have a more positive view on nuclear power, and so I my guess is that, like many of his positions, he's responding to polling rather than, you know, principle.
Sure.
So today he supports it. I don't know what that might mean for tomorrow or a month from now or 6 months from now.
So have you guys done much polling here in the last couple of weeks? I mean, are you feeling good about it?
You know, we have not. And so we did polling early, and that helped us map out our plan, which we've executed with zeal. And we thought about doing polling later in the game, but we just decided all we're doing is satisfying our curiosity, and we'd rather spend our resources and our contributors' resources to actually winning. And so that's what we've done, and we've hit it. I mean, we've hit it as hard as we know how to hit it on multiple issues.
Well, we understand you've done a really great job knocking on doors, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies. You've been out there.
We've been out there a lot, and I say we because we have just a bunch of great volunteers that are very dedicated to us winning, but yes, there's been a lot of work on a lot of fronts: text messaging, social media, digital space, texting, and you name it, mailers. I was getting my I was at the dentist chair the other day in San Luis, and somebody looked over at me and goes, "Hey, aren't you that Verdun guy?" Showing up on my Google game.
That's funny.
Yes. You're
getting some penetration, some notice there then, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Well, you know, I got Darcia calling in here in about any time now, but so I just want to thank you for all your hard work, and we wish you the best of luck today, okay? And hope to see you soon.
And thanks for the good work you guys are doing on keeping folks informed, and appreciate the opportunity to talk with you guys.
All right. Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey, we'll see you.
Well, Eric, you know, it would be a real sea change in this county to have a conservative a majority on the Board of Supervisors. What do you think that would mean for the county?
Quite a few things. I think, for one, you know, just getting it back to the way it was, having our roads be important, having public safety be important, although it is at the lead of what the Board of Supervisors says their goals are.
The priorities.
They have not shown it.
Yeah.
Jimmy, especially Bruce Gibson, and to lesser Don Ortiz Legge, has not shown that that's a priority. But they can say, oh, well, it is, because look at our list.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't funded it, and if you kind of look at what's going on, it seems like they want to pull funding away from a lot of that.
All right. Well, so either we have a caller or we have Darcia on the line.
And it's Darcia.
Hey.
How are you today?
Good. How are you? Thanks for taking some time out of your busy day to give us an update on what you're seeing out in the polls. Polling booths, well, polling spots.
I have been to my polls and a couple other locations. Good reports, which is nice to hear that people are being able to vote in person at their polling place. And going through the process with the e-poll book check-in, it seems to be going pretty well. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at Republican Party headquarters right now here in Atascadero on El Camino Real. And there are volunteers, people calling. It's been busy all morning. We have people calling, texting, and just encouraging people to get out and vote and make sure that their vote can count today. So one of the concerns that I'm hearing is where people are saying, oh, I needed to get that in the mail. And I just wanted to remind people that our mail delivery through the U.S. Postal Service, make sure that you go inside the post office and get that round postmark stamp over the counter. That we don't want to have, there were about 2,000 ballots that were not counted last election. About 1,800 of them were because they were too late, meaning they didn't have a postmark. So it gets all of our mail in San Luis Obispo County gets sent down to Santa Barbara Goleta, and it may not be received until tomorrow. So we don't want to have your vote disqualified. The easiest thing to do is to go vote at your precinct at the top of your ballot. If your vote by mail ballot, there's the top of there has an actual location. Go there and vote in person if you would. And the other thing was you can drop off your ballot if you want to do that, but that way it's included in a drop box or a polling location and will be then processed and counted.
So, Darsha, let me paint you this picture, because outside my car is my ballot. I haven't even taken it out of the envelope yet. It's sealed in.
Why am I not surprised, Derek? It's only been 3 weeks. But
he knows this backwards and forwards.
With people like me, what is your advice? What should I do with that ballot today?
My advice is open up your ballot. Make sure you know where your polling location is, because there are actually some people who do not have a physical address where they can, a home precinct where they can go and vote in person. And if you don't have a physical location, please go to for North County, go to the Atascadero Library, and you can still have an in-person vote. You just sign your name, address, and your signature, and you can have an in-person vote. Otherwise, if you were a mail ballot only precinct, you need to use that vote by mail ballot. Personally, I think it's unconstitutional. I think you should be able to vote on election day on a precinct ballot. But please go open it up. I know it takes a few seconds. Open it up, check the top of your ballot, that tear-off slip, and see where your physical location polling address is. Walk inside, and say, I'd like to vote in person, and they should be willing to check you in, and you have two options. If you bring in your vote-by-mail ballot, and you need to surrender or exchange it for a precinct ballot. You can't have two active ballots at any one point in time. Now, if you choose and you can exit out, or if you want to somehow void that vote-by-mail ballot, you can do that. And then they'll give you a precinct ballot. You go, maybe you've written down your selections ahead of time. So you go to the booth, put your ovals in there, select your selections, come back, put it in the precinct box. Those beautiful, flat, never been folded precinct ballots, those are the ones that are counted later tonight between about 10 o'clock and midnight. Kenny and I went down and watched when the special election, and we were down there watching as they scanned in those precinct ballots, and those get counted later tonight.
Anything for your radio spouse?
I don't know if Keith would like that.
No, you are not required. I do have to just say you are not required to bring in your vote-by-mail ballot if you want to vote in person. They have mailed it to you. It is your personal property. So if you choose to leave it in your car, leave it at home, wherever you are, just make sure you know which precinct you're supposed to go to. There's a number. It says CON and then a 3-digit number. Make sure you go to the correct precinct and just say, I want to vote in person. They can't ask for your ID, so they'll ask for your last name, and then they'll need to make a call down to the county call center and verify that they haven't already received a vote-by-mail ballot. And then they'll give you a precinct ballot, and it takes, you know, 5, maybe 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, how do you see this rolling out tonight as far as the votes getting counted? You know, what are you expecting? The polls close at 7, right? Or 8?
Polls close at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Okay.
And then they have an announcement. The county will make an announcement for the election night results. Because we have vote-by-mail ballot counting that occurs prior to Election Day, they've been counting ballots, meaning tabulating the ballots, for about 2 weeks now. And so what comes out at 8.05 p.m., because nothing can get to the county clerk recorder's office, you know, in 5 minutes, what they do is they report, and I can hear the music, what they do is they report the 8.05, that's all the ballots that have been counted up to this point.
All right.
So that will be the results for the vote-by-mail ballot only. And about midnight, we'll get another report that will have the polling place added to it.
Darcia, thank you for all your hard work and your dedication to this cause. Thanks for calling in.
Get out there and vote.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Folks, we'll be back on the other side of the break with, hopefully, Michael Aaron Woody, District 2 Board of Supervisors candidate. Stand by. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. I'm here with co-host Eric Gorham and Kenny Ennie. We're opining on the today's election, primary election, and we've had some great guests so far. If you're just tuning in, our last guest, when he calls in, if he calls in, will be Michael Aaron Woody. In the meantime, let me just mention, Eric is also the chef at the America 250 Celebrating 250 Years of Freedom. RP Slow is putting on a barbecue at Templeton Park on Sunday, June 28th. Tri-tip barbecue. Meet local Republican candidates. By that time, we'll be talking about what's going to be on the general election ballot. And of course, Dan Dow will be speaking as well. So, yeah, anything else planned for that at this point, Eric? I know you're just getting this announced.
A lot of that's just going to be kind of meet the candidates, greet them. You'll be able to register to vote there. There'll be swag if you want to buy stuff. And then just tri-tip and hot dogs every year. Usually it's a tri-tip thing, but John Pashong, and whose office is in Atascadero, tells me he will not show up unless I cook hot dogs.
Ah.
Not the 4th of July without hot dogs, even though this isn't on the 4th.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of where that is right now. We're going to get going on it, and it's coming up. It'll be here sooner than
I was just looking at the calendar myself. I can't believe July 4th is upon us.
Right?
So, you know.
And which has been interesting, I think, you know, just not to totally change the subject, but, you know, they actually started the charges were submitted, last week for the granary over there?
Oh, yeah.
They had one adult and one minor charged with a handful of different crimes, so it's kind of interesting. It's almost taken a year to see charges filed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be a good day down there, and the 4th of July in Templeton, if you've never been there for that, is a pretty great experience.
So do you want to maybe text Michael and remind him that we're waiting for his call? But in the meantime, Kenny, let's talk about the governor's race. I mean, this is, again, unfolding. I should go to Real Clear Politics and see what the latest polls are looking like. But
I heard this morning Hilton probably is in the number 2 spot. I'm kind of hoping the Democrats make Steyer their pick, just because he's so crazy. I think he could drive some people to vote for Hilton. But I think, you know, it's probably going to be, what did Joe Biden call him, Baccaria?
Baccaria.
Yeah.
Well, I was just looking for the polls here. I mean, I do have to say that, I can tell you that I met Becerra many years ago. I think he had either... Just because he was a congressman, too, I believe. He made it to Congress, didn't he?
Yes.
And I think he had just gotten elected to Congress, and he didn't know anything then. He'd gotten out of the legislature. He knew nothing. And this goes back probably almost 25 years now. And he certainly didn't distinguish himself as HHS secretary on any level.
Lost a couple 100,000 kids.
And he lost a couple hundred thousand kids. So, and what do you think about the gubernatorial race here? Where do you think it's headed, Eric?
It's interesting. Yeah, I would say probably Becerra, and I think it's going to be Hilton. I was never a real strong believer that two Republicans were going to make it. And if you look at how they're sharing the vote, unfortunately, it's about the amount of Republicans in the state. They're about 34% if you add them up. And it seemed like Hilton was pulling more of the middle ground and more of the MPP. We'll see if he can do that. But, yeah, I think, you know, Chad's numbers move over for sure, but is it enough to win in a general? They really have to start reaching out to MPPs.
Right.
And I think the other part of that is, you know, RPSLOC's slogan this year has been, you know, Republicans that don't vote, elect Democrats. And we've seen that over and over again. I think Siri Dominguez was interesting. By the amount of Republicans that didn't vote, it's what she lost by 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think statewide, I'll be cautiously optimistic for Hilton, but the Republicans are going to have to really work hard to get the MPP if they're going to get him elected.
And unfortunately to me, there's been so much victory all between those two. A lot of times Republicans take their ball and go home when their candidate loses. So.
We're not good at that.
We're not. And so hopefully we can get over ourselves, rally around somebody, and kind of get out there and tell people about who this person is. And, you know, Steve Hilton, one thing he has been good at is raising money. So if I was him, I would move forward by really hitting those MPP and moderate Democrats.
Yeah. And discouraging the Democrats to stay home.
Right.
There's nothing you can celebrate as a Democrat in terms of an accomplishment.
Yeah.
And you know, Becerra has been part of the machine for, as you said, Barry, 20 plus years.
Well, more than that, yeah. Because so, I probably met him in the early 2000s.
All you're doing is you're just perpetuating the problem, so...
Well, and Becerra's all tied in with these NGOs, these immigrant NGOs. There was some article here in Real Clear Politics from a few days ago, and he's tied in with all these nonprofits that make a fortune.
A lot of those are under investigation right now.
Yes, they are. They are.
A lot of connections to, what are those things called? Cartels. A lot of connections to cartels. So, I don't know. It's I think it's still the Republicans to lose, but I am never optimistic, or I never underestimate the ability of the Republicans to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory in this state. So,
well, I mean, so do you think? And this is a loaded question for our county, but do you think Bianco should have dropped out a month ago to consolidate the Republican vote, or do you think it wouldn't have made a difference?
I think he probably should have. I don't know if it would make a difference, in my opinion, for the midterm, but I think it would probably help mend fences to what Eric was talking about. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been important for those two to start mending fences before the midterm in order to unite the vote going into November.
Yeah. The last month and a half, you've seen the claws come out, especially with Bianco, actually. Although I know he always says, I'm not doing anything. Well, I've seen the stuff they're doing. And it's pretty nasty, and it does damage Hilton in the long run.
Because
I've never thought that Chad could make it through, to be honest with you. And I've been saying that on this radio show for a long time.
Right.
There's no way he'll never carry more than 10 or 13%, and you can't win with that.
Yeah, I personally probably like Bianco more than I like Hilton, but I'm a realist.
Well, right.
And I would rather have one of them than none of them. So.
Exactly.
Well, it obviously comes down to, you know, in my mind, and we've talked about this a lot, you got to vote for the Republican, the most conservative Republican that can win, right?
That's the whole thing.
You got to. We're not hearing much. You, Eric.
I don't know why. I can't get any closer.
I know you can't get any closer. I wonder what's going on with your microphone there. Anyway, yeah, and the other thing I also want to point out about Becerra, and there was an article here that we picked up, was that I picked up and I sent it around to you guys. Apparently, you know, when Becerra was the HHS secretary, he just didn't know what it was going on. There's an article here. It was actually in a It was in a left wing, the American Prospect, I believe, which is a left wing paper or magazine, talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, he was all supportive of what are called PBMs, which are pharmacy benefit companies that control the flow of medications, and they add, and this is, and Trump is trying to get rid of these actually in the whole prescription drug thing to try to get costs down for Americans. They add a lot of cost, these prescription benefit whatever consortiums or companies or something.
So yeah, go over to Mexico or South America and see what they're paying for the same prescriptions we pay for.
Well, I know. So, again, it'll be interesting. I mean, I think Steyer could be a real problem for us as well. You know, boy, I mean, could you imagine what happens if we get Becerra running against, you know, Steyer? Are we all going to have to go out and vote for Becerra? Because Steyer is like a maniac.
Yeah. You know, that's the one of the teachers at the high school sent me the endorsement list for the California Teachers Association, and Steyer is their number one. That's who they want, and it just highlights the guy is, you know, I would argue, you know, far left, anti-American. So I kind of hope he's the guy, just because I think he's more easily defeated. I think you could pull a lot more out of the middle if he were running.
Well, I mean, I saw he was. It was just this weekend he was had that. What is it? The transgender. Again, I guess I get so confused with this.
A.B. Hernandez.
Yeah, he was interviewing him, whatever it is. All of them.
Don't misgender.
Okay. And, well, I thought it would be a good thing. But they were, you know, he was going on and on about how wonderful it is that this man is competing against women and winning all the.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is just a lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, if he wants to hang his hat on that, I'm all for it. I don't know what Becerra is. He's been smart enough not to stick his toe in that pool. But, you know, again, that's an 80-20 issue. 80% oppose, you know, having the boys and the girls sports and the boys and the girls locker rooms. But, you know, if those two, you know, want to run on that, I think that's hopefully something that Hilton's going to, push to the front of the stage for everybody to see.
Lunacy, I guess, and they're effective at doing that. It could increase his chances considerably, I would think.
Yeah, again, in this state, because we are outnumbered, you got to discourage the other side to show up to the battle, and then get as many of them to jump ship as possible.
Yeah. So. And now let's talk about some of the down ballot races, because actually there's some Republicans who might make it into the general election. What do you guys? I mean, is the Republican candidate in the lieutenant governor's race is actually a former Democrat, Gloria Romero. She's been doing a lot of national TV. I've seen her on Fox a few times. I mean, Eric, do you have any opinion on who's got the inside track on I was pretty amazed that there is very little polling on these down ballot races.
Well, I think a lot of those are hard because you don't really see those candidates that much. They go to big cities. We're not hearing about them because our demographic is so small. It's not worth it to them. They have smaller budgets, and these aren't major races. So it is a lot harder for a conservative to win, because I think a lot of times people get their ballot and they see a D,
right,
and they're in California and they vote for it. So I'm not saying it's impossible by any means, but having the budget to get out there in front of the people, it's harder than you think to do. And, you know, what most people think is a lot of money is a drop in the bucket for one of these elections. And we don't have quite the machine or anywhere near it that the Democrats have in the state.
Yeah.
They are trying to fully take it. If you haven't noticed that over the last 16 years, they want every position in the state.
Right.
You know, every school board position, every board of supervisors. I mean, you hear the local chair on the radio, etc., and he's preaching how they want to take every single seat and have no diversity in the state whatsoever.
Well, yeah, well, they're getting close, right?
They are, yeah.
So, and then, and again, so, I mean, so we don't even know what's happening at the lieutenant governor's level, correct?
No, I don't.
You don't. Rob Bonta, our favorite attorney general, is he running again? Is this the attorney general's race? He's running for a second term, right?
Correct.
I believe he is, yes.
And
he's under investigation.
And then there's a guy named Gates. Do we know anything about him? He's a Republican.
That's a Republican, yes.
So he's a city. He was a Huntington Beach city attorney. Getting any attention on these down ballot races is pretty tough.
Yeah, I know a little bit about Gates. He was active when in Huntington Beach there with a lot of the pushback on against the some of the LGBTQ stuff that was being pushed, not only in the city, but also in the school district. Mike Harvey, I don't know if you know Mike, but he's probably the guy if you want to get information on some of the down ballots.
Mm-hmm.
Can I jump to the people I know?
Sure.
Stacy Coors Garden.
I was going to get to that.
Yeah, she's pulling pretty well, actually.
And,
is she?
Yeah.
She is. I think she has a very good chance of making it to the general election.
That would be great. Yeah, so she's running for insurance commissioner.
Yes.
And that's really, you know, most people don't know is that the Department of Insurance is, I think, the only department in the state that actually makes money.
Oh, yeah.
Because of premium taxes.
Yeah. And she, there was a podcast she did with Carl DeMaio mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago, and she really goes into detail and lays it out for the dummy like me on, you know, what the conflict of interest is in Sacramento in trying to keep private insurance out, because mm-hmm. it is a profit-making branch of the government. Mm-hmm. And so they're creating revenue through this fair insurance
mm-hmm.
and something else that just should be investigated by the feds if it's not already being investigated.
Well, you know, I think we, you know, again, from my perspective, we never should have gone to, I mean, with all due respect to Stacy, I don't think we ever should have gone to an elected insurance commissioner because generally speaking, Stacy's probably one of the first people who actually knows something about insurance.
Yeah, she's the only one running that has a background in insurance.
Maybe ever.
Yeah.
So how are you looking at Kenny, State Superintendent of Education? We have two actually Republicans. One's a lot stronger than the other.
Yeah, Sonia Shaw. I know Sonia casually. She's a real warrior.
What race is this?
That's for Superintendent of Public Education.
Okay.
And she's got the endorsement already of both Hilton and Bianco. And same with Stacy. I think Stacy got both of their endorsements as well. And I think that's going to, in my opinion, going to be one of the most important reasons you have a Republican on the ballot for governor,
right.
To try to highlight those things.
And we could come up with a little bit of a team. We'll see after today.
Yeah.
But there could be a team of Republicans, I think, working within the state.
I think he's doing that with Romero already.
Well, it's Stacy. Stacy's on his golden ticket. And Don Wagner. Who's running for Secretary of State, who we had on the show. I had it on the show many, many months ago, you know, and he's really a sharp guy. He's from Orange County. I think he's a supervisor down there right now in Orange County. He's been in the assembly. And, right. I mean, of all people, first of all, I mean, the Secretary of State, of course, runs the elections, basically, for, you know, on the state level.
Right.
And that's really important. But it's also, you know, that's who regulates all businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as we've mentioned many times on this show with many, many guests, you know, we need private economic development all over this state. You know, you can't run a state on government money. That's what's called communism, right?
And actually, everybody we're sitting here talking to is our endorsed candidates from
yes.
their local party.
Right.
Yeah.
We've endorsed everybody. The one thing that was we talked about with Governor, they endorsed both Republicans not wanting to take a stand, but everybody else we've talked about is an endorsed candidate.
Yeah, yeah. So any other thoughts? We got about a minute left here before we head into break. You guys have any final thoughts on the primary election, what we're going to see tonight, any surprises?
Well, hopefully we see turnout. That's what I'm really looking at is turnout. I mean, primaries are always low turnout. It's usually the farthest to the right and the farthest to the left show up. And then, you know, come the general election, people complain about their choices because they didn't vote in the primary. So hopefully you get out, make your choice heard, And then we don't have to listen to you complain. Yeah. I hate to say it, but right. I hear it every year. Oh, my gosh, we got Hilton. Well, you didn't vote for Bianco, so, yeah, we got Hilton. Whatever it may be, you got to get out there and vote. And it kills me when I hear people complain about their choices a few months from now.
Yeah, absolutely.
The big thing that I'm going to watch tonight is really the Spencer Pratt race.
Yes.
Because I think that's going to be a barometer for the state, because it's such a deep blue area. If Spencer Pratt is able to be one of the primaries, I think that's a good indicator that people are tired.
Mad as hell, and they're not going to take it
they're
anymore.
They're looking for a change.
Yeah.
Right.
You sent around that. I think it was you sent around something on Facebook by Victor Davis Hanson. When are people, talking about, when are people ever going to just wake up and stop voting the way they're voting and get the right people?
I had a friend who always equated California to a crack addict. And, the issue with a crack addict is, they, as long as they're getting money to buy their drug, they're, blissfully ignorant of the reality of the world. Mm-hmm. But once that money starts to run out, which is what is happening, that's when they start realizing I gotta change. And, maybe we're at that point. When you look at some of the most expensive real estate in the nation having burned down and, a year and a half ago, and there were 13 permits issued.
Yeah.
Out of how many? 10,000 or something?
Well, so. I hear the music, but, all I can say is, we're so blessed to live in San Luis Obispo County, but we could flip pretty easily here with the wrong election results.
Right.
In any one of these elections we have. So, all right, folks, we'll be right back. It looks like Michael Aaron Woody just called in, so we'll give him his 5 minutes of fame on the other side of the break. Welcome back to Protecting What Matter. I'm here with my co-hosts, Kenny Ennie and Eric Gorham. You can call or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Next week's show will feature a couple of my colleagues from the Central Coast Value Network, where, if you listen to KPRL, you can hear commercials on some planning seminars that we're doing in Atascadero and Pismo Beach later this month. And so if you're thinking of succession planning, exit planning, selling your business, spiffing it up to get the top value out of it, you want to come to one of these seminars. We're going to give you a preview on that. And then my 1 o'clock guest will be Megan Barth, who is the executive editor of the California Globe. We will do post-mortem analysis, if they could count the votes in this state, of the primary elections and statewide and nationally. She's really a great guest. And we now have Michael Aaron Woody on the line, and we're going to give him the last few minutes. And I'm going to turn this over to Eric to kind of ask the question. So, Michael, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Always good to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So how's it feeling over there? What's the temperature like over in Morro Bay right now?
Well, the physical temperature is as cold as always out here, but the political temperature has been really interesting for the last 6 to 8 months. That a lot of people, if you don't live in this area, don't understand this area, is that we went out there with the idea that we were going to talk about community issues and community problems going up and down all these towns up and down the 50-mile stretch called the North Central Coast, and we have really hit a nerve with a lot of voters out here on water issues, development issues, offshore wind, from battery plants to electrical problems to water billing problems out in Cayucas. I mean, the list of problems are absolutely unbelievable out here in these communities, and these people are starving for candidates to run and talk about these issues. And that's where this has been interesting, is because I've just spent a year of my life running against somebody who, in essence, a year ago said, I'm going to be anointed to this.
Right. No, I agree with you. What I've seen out of that race with D'Antona is basically kind of Hillary Clinton. It's my turn. Mm-hmm. Bruce told me it was, just like Obama told Hillary it was her turn, and that's just how it's going to be.
Like Biden told Kamala, right?
Yeah. So, the sword's supposed to be passed. And it's been interesting watching your campaign just kind of go hit the coast, because I don't know how much time you've spent in San Luis Obispo. I know that I think that's about 13% of your district, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But I don't think your district, especially on the coast, has ever been catered to with a candidate that actually cares what they think and cares about their issues.
No, they haven't. What's happened over the years is you've had Bruce Gibson for 20 years has ran on basically the mantra, I'm a Democrat, you're going to vote for me, so who cares what I do or what I don't do or what I stand for or what I say. And we went out there and said, okay, look, I left partisan politics, you know, 7-8 years ago, and we're out here talking community issues, and it's really gained a tremendous volume of traction out here. It's like something I've never seen before. I mean, our supporters and volunteers, these are former Gibson supporters. These are former Democrats. They're Republicans. They're no party preference people. It's just a wide array of people who all agree that we've got serious community problems out here that need to be addressed.
And I think really when I was looking at this at the beginning and you told me you're going to run, I thought, okay, if he can get out there and hit the people, because especially with the battery plant and the wind energy, that actually brought those different bases together for the first time that I've seen in this county in a long time, where you had MPP, where you had Republicans, you had Democrats all sitting in meetings together, agreeing on what they wanted and trying to put an agenda together to move towards either the state, the feds, or local government. And I think that's a big boom to you.
Yeah, and what's been interesting is watching Jim's campaign, because at every one of these debates, forums, community forums, and everywhere we've gone, when those hard questions are answered, everybody's very aware that Jim doesn't want to answer those questions. He just says, oh, those aren't an issue. Let's talk about Donald Trump. Let's talk about Jim D'Antona's going to save democracy. And we're all sitting here in the room saying, Jim, I know you're new here from Los Angeles, but we've got problems out here.
And what's interesting to me is I think in the last, I don't know, 3 to 4 weeks, Jim has realized he has problems in this election.
Oh,
I've seen the smear coming out. And interestingly enough, I've seen it. You see it on all kinds of campaigns. I've seen it in every supervisor campaign this year, people putting out different information. I haven't seen you do it.
No. We took a look at this and we said, no. We've got a message that we're going door-to-door with. We got a 12-page full-color brochure outlining all the issues going on and what we're going to do. And we said, no, let's stay focused on message. Just this focus on message. Ignore D'Antona and all these smears and all these lies.
So you're holding up good with that. Especially the last 3-4 weeks, he's gone kind of crazy with his advertising and just saying kind of ridiculous things. And it's kind of been the way of Adam Hill and Bruce Gibson. Just say what you want. People won't know if you're lying or not.
Yeah, exactly. You just create a big problem for everybody. But what has been fascinating to me is the backlash with the voters out here that I've gotten phone calls with that have said, bring me signs. We're all in for you. We're tired of this nonsense that's going on out here. Jim's not answering questions. He has skipped, I think, 2/3 of the radio interviews and won't interview with a lot of particular reporters. He just wants to be anointed to this whole thing and doesn't want to tell anybody or talk any of the serious issues that are going on out here environmentally.
And I will say I've reached out twice to have him on, and I get this is more of a North County radio show, so maybe he doesn't think it's worth it, but he couldn't even reply to me.
All right. Michael, thank you for calling in today. We really appreciate it.
It's an honor.
And Eric and Kenny, I really appreciate you guys coming in and doing this with me once in
Thank
a while.
You.
I really appreciate it. It's fun to just kind of go around the room and see what everybody thinks.
Are we making any bets?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Do we have time, or do we got to do it off air?
Go ahead. what are your bets?
Well, I bet Pratt makes the cut.
And what's his name?
I think Hilton will make it.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, we're certainly hoping and praying for both of those. Folks, I'll talk to you next week. Have a great
Join
week.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to Barry@blazingbear.com.